That is one of my favorite songs. It's got a really powerful message. I'll give my all for the master's call. I pray that's going to be your same request and your same prayer, is that your desire is for that. Once again, thank you for those that made today special and the kindness there. We came 10 years ago on my wife's birthday, and that's this coming Tuesday. So I told her for her birthday, she got a new house. Isn't that exciting? Of course, that was the parsonage, so she doesn't get to take it with her. But she's never going to get that again for her birthday. But it was 10 years ago in just a couple days. Okay, this morning we're going to look in Genesis chapter number 37. We're going to look at, as we've been looking at difference makers in the Bible, this morning we're going to look at the story of Joseph. Difference makers in the Bible. I think that's why God saves us. God wants us to make a difference. The theme of this year is called to make a difference, or making a difference, from Jude 22. And here's our desire, is that when God saves us, He doesn't save us just to stand around, not do anything. He saves us for a purpose. He wants to be a light. He wants us to go out and tell the rest of the world about the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ and what God's done for us in His life. He told us to go out into all the world. And when you look at some of these different Bible characters, and we've been looking at some of the greatest Bible characters, and we've been seeing some important truths about their lives, and seeing especially one characteristic and focusing on one characteristic, and that characteristic is one of the main reasons why they made a difference in the world they live in. Today, when we look at the story of Joseph, I want you to see that Joseph made a difference because of how he responded to injustices. He chose not to become bitter and was willing to forgive. And I honestly believe one of the main reasons why Christians are not making a difference in the world they live in today is because they are not responding properly to the injustices of the world. Many times, Christians will harbor bitterness in their heart and not able to be used and blessed by God as God wants to use and bless them. Evangelists many times have said, the reason why revival doesn't happen inside our church today is because of sins, but not the sins that you think of, not the sins like smoking and drinking, but the sin of an unforgiving spirit. And this morning I'm praying and I've asked God to help us to make sure that we learn how to respond and react to the injustices of this world. And if there's any bitterness in our hearts this morning, I'm praying that God will give us victory over that. Joseph could have became bitter. And we're going to preach the message on the all 13 to 14 books, different chapters that are found in there about Joseph. So we're preaching in the idea that you have a common knowledge of what was going on in the life of Joseph just a little bit. But if you think about it, Joseph could have became bitter. Joseph could have been bitter at God. You know, he was living for God. He was doing what God wanted him to do, but God allowed him to be sold in a pit. And sometimes, many times, Christians today are bitter at God because what injustices or things and circumstances in their lives. Not only could he have been bitter at God, obviously he could have been bitter at his brothers. His brothers willing to pass and sell him and maybe even consider putting him to death. You think he could have been bitter at his father for sending him to try to find his brothers. And I'm sure his father lived with that for many years. If I would have never sent Joseph, he would have never died. Also, you think about Potiphar's wife. He could have been bitter at her for falsely accusing him. You could think even he could have been bitter at the butler because of the fact the butler forgot about him. But the reason why Joseph was a difference maker, was because he reacted to every injustice in the right way. The reason why you find his name in the Bible, the reason why he was able to help many people, the reason why he was able to help his family through the famine, not only help Egypt, but the rest of the world, and to save many people, according to what the Bible says, was because of the way he reacted to the different situations in his life. Injustices, things he did not deserve, things that shouldn't have happened to him. He had a choice. Am I going to react away and I'm going to forgive those that offend me and forgive those that hurt me? Or am I going to let bitterness stay in my heart and my mind? When we come to the different considering the different characters and difference makers in the Bible, we talked about the Apostle Paul, and the outstanding characteristic he had was that nothing moved him. He was steadfast. He just kept on going. Even though he faced all that peril, and although he faced all that danger and that imprisonment, all those whippings, all those beatings, he kept on going. Not only was it the Apostle Paul, we also looked at Daniel, and Daniel taught us a huge lesson. That lesson of living godly in a pagan culture, when he was taken and dragged all the way to Babylon, and he lived godly, despite the pagan culture that was around him. We also looked last week at Abraham, and we saw how Abraham's faith caused him to be obedient. It caused him to change his outlook, and it made him willing to offer that sacrifice. But I honestly believe this week's difference maker in the story of Joseph is something that can impact many people's lives. Because I don't know how often I hear Christians that say, I just can't forgive. You don't know how much it's hurt. You don't know how they treated me. And because of that, some Christians have bitterness in their heart. And I tell you, that bitterness, that root of bitterness that springs up in so many people's lives is one of the main reasons, if not the number one reason, why people don't serve God like they should. So this morning, I want you to think about and consider, as we think about this message, how do you respond to the injustices of life? Let's begin here in Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37, the word of God says in verse number 1, and Jacob dwelt in a land wherein the father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now I want you to see here in the story, you see that in verse number 3, it says Israel, and that's a reference of the father's name, loved Joseph more than all his children. I want you to notice that. Not just more than any of his children. You combine all those children together, and Jacob, or another name is Israel, loved him more than all those children combined. And you see here in verse number 4, what happens? And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. So I want you to see here, not only was Joseph, throughout his life, injustice came, but injustice came to these brethren too. These 10 other brothers, they were treated unfairly. They were treated unjustly. Their father loved the one brother more than anyone else. They even gave him this coat of many colors, and this coat of many colors represent authority. He even had the authority in the family over the 10 brothers that were older than he was. But we see how they responded. These 10 brothers, instead of forgiving the father, instead of treating Joseph as an equal, instead of doing what they could have done, they begin to hate Joseph. You know, in the end, what happens? Not only is Joseph hated by his brethren, as the story goes along, Joseph goes to check on his brothers one time. And you know what happens? They actually throw him in the pit. They actually talk about putting him to death. And then when they see some traders or some merchantmen coming, they sell him into slavery. Now, Joseph has not done anything wrong. Joseph does not deserve this. How is Joseph going to react? Before we go any farther, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the kindness of the church. Lord, I pray that you help me this morning. Lord, I pray that you speak to people's hearts today. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's unsaved, Lord, they come to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, for those that call themselves Christians, children of God, help us to act like it. Help us to live like it. Help us not to have bitterness in our hearts or in our minds. But Lord, instead, help us to be willing to forgive in a Christ-like manner. In Jesus' name, amen. Not only do I want to tell you the story of Joseph, I also want you to tell you a story about another person. And we'll tell you a portion of the story now, and then later on we'll finish it. This man also faced some unfair dealings. His name was Jim McLaurin. Many of you might even know who he is. Doesn't seem like he got a very fair break. At the age of 22, the Yale graduate seemed to have everything going for him. He excelled in his studies, excelled as a football player, and even excelled as an actor. But one balmy night, his motorcycle was hit by a 22-ton bus. He was thought to be dead when he arrived at the hospital. But the heroic efforts of the emergency room staff saved his life, and he recovered mostly. You see, when Jim woke up, he had lost his leg below his left knee. How was he going to respond? You see that he didn't let that stop him. Instead, he spent the next 8 years becoming one of the best one-legged athletes in all the world. Within the first year of his brutal rehab, he was able to complete in a 10K race. He actually began to set new records for disabled athletes in the New York and Boston Marathon. But that wasn't enough for Jim. He began competing in triathlons. If you don't know what a triathlon is, it is when they swim for 2.4 miles. It is when they bike for 112 miles. And they just cap it off and finish it by running a 26.2 mile marathon. But Jim did this all on one leg. This is when things really get hard for Jim. Everything seemed to be going so well, and then disaster struck again. While Jim was competing in the triathlon in Los Angeles in 1993, a van mistakenly allowed to go onto the street where the bicyclists were riding. The van hit Jim head on, flinging him across the street into a lamppost. The impact snapped his neck and left Jim paralyzed. He was confined to a wheelchair, and Jim lived in constant pain. The nerves to his arms and legs were not completely severed, leaving him subject to fits. After being in a steel halo for 3 months, he began a new course of rehabilitation at a special center in Colorado. After just 6 months, he was living independently and giving motivational speeches, but depression set in. He came to the realization that he was always going to be living in pain and that he would never be able to walk no matter how far, how long, and how hard he worked. Jim had won a $3.8 million settlement for the accident, so he moves to Hawaii. Soon he became addicted to cocaine and wallowing in self-pity. One night as he rolled in his wheelchair down the street where he once raced in marathons, he looked up to the sky and yelled, "Why are you doing this to me?" Jim McLaurin was fed up with the injustices of his life. How was he going to respond? Later on at the end of the message, we're going to tell you how he responds. But first, I'd like you to look once again at the story of Joseph. First, I want you to understand there is a reality when it comes to injustices. There is a reality when it comes to injustices. If I could, I would try to do my best to make sure no one ever had any pain. No one ever was sad. No one ever got sick. No one ever dealt with cancer. If I could, for the people I love and for my family and for my church family, I would do whatever I could to be able to stop any type of anxiety or hardships. But I think we all know and we all understand and we all realize that I can't do that. I can't do that for myself. I can't do that for my family. I can't do that for my church members. The Bible tells us man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. Even Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." The Bible says, he even says, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they had persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Injustices are a fact of life. "It is impossible," the Lord declared, "but that offenses will come." Jesus made it very clear that since we are living in an imperfect world, we will face difficulties and we will face troubles. Joseph is a great example of that. Joseph faced injustice after, in one form or another, many times in his life. I want you to think about the different injustices that you see in the Bible. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but think about Daniel. We talked about a few weeks ago. Daniel faced an injustice. Those men followed Daniel around looking for something he did wrong so he could accuse him before the king. And those men could not find anything wrong with him. He had done nothing wrong. They go to the king. They trick the king into signing that decree. Daniel goes and prays and he's thrown into a lion's den. Is that fair? No, that's not fair at all. You think about David. David went out and slew the giant, and David did everything he could to be able to help the King Saul. But what happens? Saul chases him and tries to put him to death. Is that fair? No. There's injustices found over and over in the Bible. We probably think the greatest injustice that ever happened was when Jesus Christ came to this world and he was put on the cross where he died for our sins. He didn't deserve that. Not only is it Bible that you see this, you also see this throughout history. You think about the different injustices that you see in history. Slavery. One man owning another man. Yeah. That was injustice. Yeah. You think about it, during World War II, they made a decision, and I know and I understand why they did it, where anybody that had a Japanese heritage, they put in camps and things like that many times because they were worried about them attacking the Americans later on their own land. Doesn't seem very fair. And I don't know that much about when it comes to history, but I know enough to understand that not all American Indians were noble, not all white men were evil, but not all Indians were not evil, and not all the white men were noble, that the Indians were many times treated unfairly and unjustly. The world we live in today is filled with injustices. They come from all different types of sources. Unsaved people. They come from unsaved people. I remember I used to work with my brother. He's the one I tell you the stories about. He's the one that got me to sell cars for a little while. So a used car salesman, you think about the injustices of the world. Many of you probably can tell stories about the used cars that maybe you bought. And I remember one time, my brother wasn't there at work, so I don't want you to go ahead and pick it. I was working, and they did something that was deceitful, something wrong at the car dealership. And I had to tell them, look, I'm not interested in being a part of that. They had taken something, they were switching something around and changing something on an invoice and says, hey, I can't do that. You know, the world out there, you're going to find people that treat you wrongly and unfairly. How you respond is what God's looking for. Not only is it with the unsaved or what people would consider not our Christian family. You know, when we talk about Christians not serving because they're bitter, you know, they're not usually upset with the world. Most times, Christians are bitter with another Christian. They're bitter with another believer. They're bitter with someone that's sitting in the church house and they can't serve and they can't look. You know, in that story about Joseph, it was his own brothers. His own brothers, it says he couldn't even talk to him peacefully. They couldn't even look at him without the hatred just coming through. And I don't see it. I hope it doesn't happen here. But the reason why many Christians are bitter today isn't because of some person who doesn't know God and the way they treat him. They're bitter today because of the fact that another brother or sister and the Lord has treated them wrongly. We need to learn to let go of that bitterness. We need to understand that we will be treated unfairly sometimes, and some things just will not go our way, and God is looking for how we respond to that. The reason why Joseph made a difference was the way he responded to the injustices of his life. Not only do you see that, you also see family time. Not only was it the saved and unsaved that sometimes bitterness comes from, the other even sadder fact is many times families are bitter against one another. You know, it doesn't always work out, to be fair. I know that when I first started dating my wife, and one of the big things at her house, Christmas, it was Christmas time. And my mother-in-law, she always made sure everybody had the exact same amount spent on them. He had grandkids that were there. I mean, I'm sure there's different things. I'm sure they probably gave more to the grandkids than they did to the kids, maybe, or to one another. But if there's one, two, three, four grandkids, and they would spend the exact same amount on the grandkids. And I used to laugh a little bit because she would even explain that to us. You know, a Christian might have got four gifts, but Andrew's two gifts cost the same amount as the four gifts. And she just wanted everyone to know, everybody there, that she was trying to be fair. She wanted to make sure that her love wasn't demonstrated to one grandchild more than another grandchild. She just wanted to be fair. But in this story here, Jacob's not the same way. In this story, you see Jacob doing the complete opposite. And Jacob, in this story, is not treating them fairly. And because of this unfairness, the brothers thought it was okay for them to treat Joseph unfairly. When Jacob turns around and treats them badly and lifts Joseph up, the brothers look at Joseph and say, you know what? Because he treats me unfairly, I can treat Joseph unfairly, because that's the apple of his eye. And what begins is a very vicious circle. A vicious circle that needs to be broken, where injustice is caused over and over because of bitterness in people's hearts and lives. Many times people do the golden rule backwards. People treat people the way that others treat them. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 7:12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So the Bible's saying the way you want to be treated, that's how you're supposed to treat others, not the way that people treat you. I want you to understand that there is a reality. There is a reality of injustice. There's a reality of injustice. Second thing I want you to see is the roots of injustice. First thing I want you to see, and we need to move quickly here, is it's unfairness. You know, it was not very fair for Jacob to treat his children this way. It was not very fair for Jacob to do this to his sons. There's some things that happens in our lives you're just going to have to chalk up to experience that it's just unfair. But I think one of the greatest reasons in a Christian's life that there is bitterness and that there is injustices is because of a lack of unawareness. A lack of unawareness. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by unawareness? Well, you think about it. If we're Christians, we're supposed to believe that God is in control of everything. And I'm not saying that God causes these things to happen to us. I'm certainly not saying he's responsible for it. But what I am saying is he can even take the unjust and the unfair things of this world and turn them around for his good. The Bible says in Psalm 76:10, God uses the wrath of men to praise him. And that's why you see in this story, as the story goes along, we're going to look at some more of the stories here. At the end of Joseph's life, and at the brothers come back, and Joseph has all the ability to take care of him. And Joseph understood this principle, and he says, you may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph saw that God was working all this time and working all the way through this. And we need to understand that if we are aware that God is at work in our lives, we can easily react the right way to the situations we're brought across. But when we don't see God working and don't believe that God's working, you know what happens? We fall victims to bitterness because of the actions of others. You see up there where it says Hebrews 12:15-17. In Hebrews 12, verses 15 through 17, the Bible teaches us about bitterness. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest thereby be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward that he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You say, yes, I know Esau. I know that story. Esau's bitter. Esau's mad. He sold that birthright. And because he sold that birthright, he got up. And I think Esau was a little bit upset about the deal, but I don't think he was upset. That is not an example of Esau's bitterness. What that's an example of is when it says that there is many that's defiled, it's referring to the bitterness of his mother. See, his mother had a favorite, and that was Jacob. And Jacob, being that favorite, she knew that God had promised her that Jacob was going to be the one that was in charge, the higher up one. And when their father's getting ready to die, their father says, go kill me some meat, go kill me some venison, and then I will bless you. And the mom says, no. It's not supposed to be the younger one, it's supposed to be the older one. So the mom goes to her son and makes a liar out of her son. And as he makes a liar out of her son, Esau gets mad. Esau gets angry. Esau gets bitter. Where does it happen from? It happens from the mom being bitter, the fact that the dad isn't doing things the way she thought they should. The mom's upset because things aren't working out the way she thought they should. And because of that, what happens? Esau becomes profane. Esau becomes evil. Esau becomes very bitter in his own life, in his own heart. We need to understand that there is an awareness that God is working. And here's the main text of the message. How do you respond to injustices? Okay, Pastor, I get it. I know I'm not supposed to be bitter. I know things are going to come into my life. How do I respond to them? And this is the important part here. It's four things, and we'll go through them quickly. Responding to injustices of life. First, we need to recognize our responsibility. First, recognize your responsibility. Joseph was sold by his brother to be a slave. They were jealous of him because their father showed favoritism towards him. Jacob was unfair by not giving equal treatment to his children. Joseph has a choice. I can become bitter to my brothers, or I can break the cycle of injustice. I can become angry with my brothers and let bitterness own me, or I can choose to forgive. And here's the response. See, the world thinks that Joseph would be justified. The world thinks that, hey, they deserve whatever they get. When those brothers come seeking food and searching for food, the world would say, okay, give each one of those brothers 1 year according to how many years you served in jail, how many years you served as a slave for Potiphar. Give each one of them that would be just. That would be right. But no, Joseph chooses to forgive. The Bible says, until an individual is willing to change, society will never change. I want you to understand that Joseph had a responsibility. His responsibility was to God. So don't shirk your responsibility. Embrace your responsibility. Understand that someday you will stand before God, and as you stand before God, you had to recognize that responsibility. How you react to those injustices of life is what you'll be responsible for. In Romans 14:12, it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. See, Joseph was not going to give an account for what his brothers did, even though Jacob had treated him better. He's not going to give account for what Jacob did, but you know what he's going to give an account for? He's going to give an account for how he reacted to it and how he treated his brothers. I want us to understand that we don't need to worry about what the other people, their punishment. God will take care of that. But what we need to worry about is our responsibility in this. And usually when there's a problem, let's be honest, there's usually both people at fault. You think about it. When I talk to people about marriage counseling, I usually tell them, hey, look, probably somewhere in there, it's a little bit of both of your faults, and let's try to figure it out. And I even go as far as saying, that the husband, nothing your husband has done is responsible for anything you have done. And you got to react according to what you're supposed to do. Say if I mistreat my wife, which I hope I don't, and how is she supposed to respond? The world says, hey, go ahead, treat him bad back. You would be justified in that. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to forgive, that she's supposed to love me. Now, who's she going to be held accountable for? She's going to be held accountable for me mistreating her? No. She's going to be held accountable for how she reacts to me mistreating her. None of us are married to anyone that's perfect. And we need to understand that. We need to take full responsibility for how we respond. That's what Joseph does. Go ahead and take your Bible and look in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. As you know, most of the story, you know that Joseph was sold into slavery. He was bought by a man named Potiphar. Potiphar was a guard. He was a high up guard in the Egyptian army, probably one of the highest men up there in charge. And he became in favor with Potiphar here in verse number 6. And he left, and this is what Potiphar does. He says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. And unto his master said unto his wife, master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Now look what it says in verse number 9. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then I do this great wickedness and sin against God. Now here's what I'm trying to say. Potiphar's wife, she wants to lay with Joseph. She wants to have immoral relationships with Joseph. You know, in the world's thinking, it would tell you, hey, look, Joseph, Potiphar should not own you. You should have never been sold. Why don't you go ahead and have a good time with his wife and just not worry about it? You're justified. You shouldn't even be there. But what does Joseph say? Joseph says no. He says, I got a responsibility. He says, I got a responsibility first to Potiphar for what he's given me and the responsibility he's given me. But you look at the end of verse number 9, he's not going to be willing to sin, not just because of Potiphar, not because of the wickedness, but because he does not want to sin against God. Yeah. And Christian, today, if you got bitterness in your heart and you got an unforgiving spirit in your heart, what you're doing is you're sinning against God. You think that you're hurting somebody else. You think you're hurting the person that's offended you. You think you're hurting the person that's causing the injustice. But in all reality, what you're doing is you're sinning against God. And this is what we need to work on. We need to look to see, how am I responding? We think that we have something to prove. Instead, we have someone we need to please, and that's God. And when we're treated wrongly, and when we're treated unfairly, we think that we have something to prove, had something we had to get things right, we had to get things fixed, we had to retaliate. But in all reality, our responsibility in this is we have someone to please, and that's God. Second thing I want you to think about, not only is it to recognize your responsibility, but also is to refuse to retaliate. Refuse to retaliate. Here in the story, you see the story is 20 years later on. Joseph is there, and Joseph is second in charge of Egypt. Joseph knows that his brothers, when they come to see him, they need food, and there's a famine everywhere. And Joseph has a responsibility of divvying out the food to whoever comes. And as the people come and they asked him for food, Joseph recognizes the 10 brothers right away. But because they were not expecting Joseph to be there, and because Joseph was dressed as an Egyptian, speaking as an Egyptian, they didn't recognize him. And Joseph now has the ability to retaliate if he wants. As I mentioned earlier, it probably would be fair for them to be locked up in prison as long as he was locked up. It'd probably be fair for them to be in slavery to him as long as he was in slavery to Potiphar. But what does Joseph choose to do? He chooses not to retaliate. Even though he was in a position to do so, he realized getting even was God's business, not his business. The Bible even says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." The good news is, you don't have to make things work out. God is the one that makes things work out. Refuse to retaliate. Now, before I go any farther than that, I want you to understand this is referring to the injustices of life. This is not referring to safety issues. This is not referring to safety. If somebody comes with a gun in my house and said they're going to kill me and my wife and my two sons, I have a responsibility to protect them. Now, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when people treat you wrongly, how are you going to respond? First thing is, we need to recognize our responsibility, which is first to God more than anything else. And secondly, we need to refuse to retaliate and let God work it out. The third thing I want you to see is we need to remember God's sovereignty. Remember God's sovereignty. Take the Bible and look in Genesis chapter number 50. Genesis chapter number 50. Joseph recognized that God was the one in control of everything that happened. In Genesis chapter number 50, verses 20 through 21. Now this is Joseph after his father has died, and now he can get rid of the brothers and not even think anything about it, not even worry about what his father would think. But instead, in verses 20 through 21, he's speaking to his brothers, and he says, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good." What he is saying is, I see how God has worked this out. Yes, you meant it to be evil against me, but God took your evil and meant it to be good. It says, "To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He remembered God's sovereignty. Even after his father had passed away, even after all these years, his brothers were worried that he was going to retaliate. His brother says, "Look, I'm not in the place of God. Yes, you thought it'd be evil, but God meant it for good." Take your Bible also. In chapter 45, he says something similar. In chapter number 45, verses 7 through 8, the word of God says, Joseph once again is speaking to the brothers. Genesis 45, verses 7 and 8, he says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you in posterity and the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it now was that not you that sent me hither, but God." You think about what it's saying here. Yes, you sold me into slavery, but you're not the one that sent me. He's saying, God sent me. He's looked back and he's remembered God's sovereignty, and he's seen God's sovereignty in all this, and he's saying, "Look, you meant it to be evil. Look, you meant it to be bad, but God has taken the evil and the bad of this world and he's turned around and make it good." Don't you like it when God does that? Don't you like it when the Daniels of the world, you see Daniel, those men that wanted to throw Daniel in the lion's den, they were the ones eaten by the lions. Don't you like it when the Mordecais of the world lives for God and stay faithful to God, and the Hamans of the world are the ones hung when they're trying to do wicked things against God and wicked things against God's people? He takes those evil things and he turns it around to be good. And if you see here in what it says in verse number 8, he's saying, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his people and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I want you to understand that even though sometimes the injustice things happens in the world, even though it seems like somebody might be trying to do wrong to you, even though it seems like sometimes people are trying to get you in the wrong way, what he's saying here is God can take those things. Remember, God is sovereign. He can take those things and turn it out to be good. Joseph knew God had his place in this position, so he could help many, and he even helped those that mistreated him. The worst thing your adversary can do to you is be an unwilling instrument of God, or an unwitting instrument of God, to accomplish his purpose in your life. The worst thing your adversary can do, the person that you're holding that bitterness to, that person that you're trying to hurt, in all reality, you're hurting yourself more than anything. The only thing that person can be is an unwitting instrument in God's great plan for your life. People may say, "But you don't know what happened to me." And maybe I don't. And there are some hideous, some awful, and some unfair things that do happen. But God can take that and take it and turn it to good. "The injustice I've suffered has left me broken and unusable," you may say. God can take that and turn it to good. Christian, how do you respond? How do you respond to the injustices of this world? First thing you need to do is recognize your responsibility. Realize that your responsibility is to God more than anything else. And if you have bitterness in your heart, and if you have an unforgiving spirit in your heart and your life today, what we need to do is hash up that heart, hash up that bitterness, take that unforgiving spirit and give it over to God and say, Lord, I need to please you more than I need to prove something to somebody else. We also need to learn not only recognize our responsibility, we need to refuse to retaliate. And then we need to remember God's sovereignty. Last but not least, we need to rely on God's faithfulness. Rely on God's faithfulness. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know what it's saying here is we can rely on the faithfulness of God. The reason why you can respond this way, you say, Pastor, how can I respond? When someone treats me bad, I need to get even. That's your flesh speaking. But the Spirit of God says that he wants you to forgive. The first reaction is, how can I get back at him? How can I save face? How can I do these things? The Bible says they want you to forgive. The Bible says they want you to forgive you the same way that Jesus Christ forgave us. So what do? First, we remember our responsibility. We recognize it. We say, okay, I want to please God. Well, how do I please God? How in the world can I do that? It's that we remember and rely on his faithfulness. Joseph in the prison cell, you know where God was? He's right there with him. Joseph in the pit, you know where God was? He's right there with him. You know, Joseph in Potiphar's house, when his wife is trying to seduce him, you know where he's at? God is with him. When the butler forgets all about him, God is with him. We can rely on his faithfulness. Yes, it was easy to want to get back at somebody. Yes, it's easy to want to retaliate. But then God is not going to be able to use you and bless you the way he wants to. You think about it. Is there something that's in your heart? Someone that you're not willing to forgive? See, if you have that bitterness, it's described as the root of bitterness. What's wrong with a root? Roots are hard to get rid of, aren't they? Roots are a pain to get rid of. You can try to cover them up. You can try cutting them. You can make it look like everything else, but sooner or later, it's going to show up. And we got to remember to dig that root of bitterness out in our hearts. And we need to get rid of that root of bitterness. And the reason why is because God's not going to be able to use you the way he wants to. And the whole idea and the whole purpose of the message is, do you want to be a difference maker? This year, when we're talking about making a difference in your heart and your life, do you really want to make a difference in your family? I don't know how many times I hear you, the people, the congregation, the Faith Baptist Church family, Pastor, please pray for my family. Pastor, please pray for my coworkers. Pastor, we need to pray for our nation. We need somebody that's going to stand up and make a difference in this world. We need someone who's going to say, hey, I'm going to live for God. I know I might not be treated fairly. I know that some things might not go my way. But in order to make a difference, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I'm going to learn how to forgive. I'm not going to keep a bitter spirit, even if they treat me wrong. I'm not going to harbor this bitterness in my heart, because when I harbor bitterness in my heart, what happens? Many are defiled. It's passed down. And as that's passed down, you think about it. We talk about Rebecca, the mom there, and Esau was bitter. But you see Rebecca, what did she do? She got her son to lie to her father. And what do you see now? It's being passed down, this vicious cycle. And he starts treating Joseph better than the other brothers. And what happens? The brothers become bitter. And instead of responding the right way, instead of doing what they should, they respond that way. And they respond in a way full of bitterness, and they put him in prison, they put him in the pit, and they sell him to slavery. Christians, bitterness is something that will control you. It will control you. And yes, the brothers were bitter at Joseph, but I can imagine those brothers, you read the story, how they are sorrowful in their heart what they did to Joseph. They're there, and when they're standing before Joseph, and they're realizing it's not Joseph, they don't realize it's Joseph yet, and they're there, and they're being bitter. And they're crying out about their sin. They're saying that we deserve what's going on. They didn't get very many sleepless nights. They had to watch their fathers. They had to watch their father go through all this. Him losing his favorite son. But Joseph wasn't hurt at all. Yes, Joseph had to go through the injustices, but God was there with him. So who's the one that was hurting? It was the brothers. And when you have bitterness in your heart, the person you're trying to get aggravated and mad at, you're not bothering them at all. The person that you're hurting is you and the ones that are close to you. Let's go back to Jim's story. You remember Jim? He was the man that got hit by the bus and then got hit by the van. He was that world-renowned handicap runner. Last we saw him, he's sitting on the road. He's crying out to God, asking him, why are you doing this to me? And he had a choice how he was going to respond. He wanted to die. Jim McLaurin faced a choice that night in Hawaii. He was only 33 years old. He didn't want to die, but he wanted to feel better. He did not want to live as a quadriplegic. That was something he couldn't change. So that night, he decided to make peace with what happened to him. Jim determined that instead of being afraid of solitude, he would find a way to use it. His classical education led him to read about men who had been wounded. He read about the crippled Greek god. He read about the blinded god. But he did not find real comfort until he began to read the story of Job. In fact, it wasn't till the 10th reading through the book of Job that he realized God works through trials and troubles to draw men closer to him. Jim passed away a few years ago, but he has spent those years after reading the story of Job and finding peace, helping others that has the same wounded body, mind, and spirit, helping them overcome the injustices of this world, and his spirit is still continuing on through helping many others through his story, through his books, and through his videos. And I want you to think about this. This man responded in the right way. He wasn't going to let this stop him. He wasn't going to let this render him useless. But when we have bitterness in our heart and life, and once again, the bitterness could be something that happened yesterday. It could be something that happened a year ago. It could be something that happened many years ago. But if we got bitterness in our hearts and lives, God's not able to use us the way he wants to. He wants us each to be a difference maker. He wants us all to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants us all to go out and do what God's called us to do. He wants us to make a difference in this world. I think we would all agree we need to make a difference in this world. This world's going haywire and crazy, and it's full of chaos. And we need some people who's going to stand up and say, I'm going to make a difference. Like we learned from the Apostle Paul, we can't let things move us. We can't let things stop us. Like we learned in Daniel, we have to learn how to live godly in a pagan culture. Like we saw from Abraham, we had to have faith that's going to cause us to obey and change our outlook and be willing to sacrifice. But today we learn from Joseph, if we allow bitterness in our heart and our mind and we don't respond right to injustices, God's not going to be able to use us to make a difference. This morning, respond to it. Respond to the injustices of things that happen in your life and let them go by giving them over to the Lord. Remember, we have nothing to prove to somebody else. We just have someone to please, and that's God. Remember, we do not have to work out the details. God will work out the details for us. And remember, we have someone that we want to help. I'm sure each and every one of us has somebody in our heart and our minds that we like to make a difference in. And we pray and we beg for it and we say, God, please, please, please make a difference in their lives. Then we need to let go of the bitterness. We need to let go of that unforgiving spirit. Before we close, I know the service this morning was mostly the message was aimed toward Christians, and is, because Christians so often will let bitterness stop them. Not just bitterness from the unsaved people, but bitterness from Christian family and also from our own families. We need to stop that if we want to make a difference. But before you leave, I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you say, what do you mean by saved? That means that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you know that if you die today, that you would go to heaven. See, Jesus Christ teaches us how to forgive. Jesus Christ came to this world, was put in the hands of evil and ungodly men, and they put him on a cross to bleed and die for our sins. And God accepted his payment for the penalty of our sins. Amen. See, we're all sinners. We've all done things that are wrong. Bitterness or injustices that maybe we've caused others. And the Bible said because of that sin, we are lost and on our way to a horrible place called hell. Nothing we can do in our own strength, nothing that we can work, no good works that we can do can pay that penalty of our sin. And that's when Jesus Christ came and he died to pay that penalty for us. And the Bible says if we put our faith and trust in God and we repent of our sins and believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again for our sins, and we put our faith and trust in him and in him alone to pay for our sins, we can go to heaven when we die. And if you're not for sure, if you die today, that you would go to heaven, let me encourage you In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. You say, what's an invitation? An invitation is when the piano plays and the song leader sings and people come to the altar as God's spoken to their heart. They might be wanting to pray that God would use them to make a difference. It might be a prayer to want to deal with some bitterness or some hard feelings that they have because they want God to use them to make a difference. It may be praying for someone else. It may be praying for a number of different things. But I'll be standing right here in front of the pulpit. And if you're not sure that you go to heaven if you die today, please come forward. And what will happen is if you're a lady, we'll have a lady take the Bible and just show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. And if you're a man, we'll have a man show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. It's just simple as that. No one's going to force you to do anything. No one's going to force you to say anything. No one's going to ask you to give a big testimony from the church. We just want to have the opportunity to be able to take the word of God and tell you how you can go to heaven and tell you how you can make God your Father. As we close, Christians, is bitterness stopping you? Is an unforgiving spirit stopping you from letting God use you the way he could? We all want to be a difference maker. Joseph was a difference maker because of the way he responded to the injustices. Because being thrown in the pit, being sold into slavery, being left in the prison, he responded the right way. And God was able to use him, by what it says, to save many people. Do you want to be a difference maker? You can't do it and have bitterness in your heart. At least not the difference maker God wants you to be. Let's go ahead and pray.